Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
We want to improve the quality of food in our schools, and we want to make food more affordable and accessible.
First Lady Michelle Obama, that clip is actually from back in February, as Congress begins the week facing a dilemma around a vote that they punted on last week. Now, the sessions in Washington right now may be the Bush tax cuts and the Bob Woodward Obama Afghanistan book, and now education with this new announcement from the president this morning, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But of all the things to split the White House from other Democrats, it's a child nutrition bill endorsed by the president, campaigned for by the First Lady. It would expand the school lunch program and make a few other changes that she's been campaigning for, like establishing nutrition standards for the food sold in schools, including in vending machines. And it would require school lunches to contain more fruits, vegetables, and low-fat dairy products. But there's a catch. We'll get to the catch in a minute, but here's a little bit more of First Lady Michelle Obama campaigning for this bill, which is now stuck in contention in the House, campaigning for it back in February of this year.
The Child Nutrition Reauthorization Act is one of the ways that the government supports school lunches. And one of the things we're trying to get done, because it's time for it to be reauthorized, is to get more money put into implementing that act so that we change the kind of food you all get in your lunches so that there are more fruits and vegetables added, that there's less processed food, that the quality of the food goes up. Because a large percentage of kids in this country are getting half of their meals at school. So if we can do a better job in the schools of providing better options that are healthier, more nutritious, then we're going to go a very long way.
Again, First Lady Michelle Obama speaking in February. Here's the catch. They'd pay for it with less funding for the food stamp program, removing an increase in monthly benefits that was granted in the stimulus bill. Now, more than 40 million Americans receive food stamps today, about half are children. The number of recipients has gone up by half since the recession began in 2007. The average benefit, according to the New York Times, is about $4.40 per person per day. That would go down under the bill by as much, we estimate, as a dollar a day. So lots of progressives are up in arms right now about robbing Peter to pay Paul. Mayor Bloomberg also expressed concern, and the House vote scheduled for last Thursday on the nutrition bill was postponed until we don't quite know when, but very possibly as early as Wednesday of this week while they sort it out. Let's see what's at stake. With me now is Anya Duggan with the Food Bank for New York City, which helps feed New Yorkers short on food, including helping them sign up for food stamps. She's part of the coalition urging for the food stamps program not to be cut. Hi, Anya. Thanks for coming on to talk about this.
Good morning, Brian.
Tell us first, what changed under the stimulus bill? Food stamp benefits per person actually went up just last year?
Food stamp benefits did go up, and there were a number of other measures that were put in place to help low-income families, including extra funding for emergency food for soup kitchens and food pantries. The one difference between some of the other measures and the food stamp increase was that at the time, the hunger community was told that the food stamp increase was permanent. And we expected those benefits to stay in place, knowing that, of course, most families who receive food stamps run out of the benefit long before the end of the month anyway. Most families find themselves needing to go to a soup kitchen or a food pantry about 2.5-3 weeks into the month. So we knew already that food stamp benefits rarely last, and so this increase was seen as an amazing achievement.
Can you give us some of the numbers? It went up from what to what for a typical individual or family?
Well, a typical individual, I mean, the per-person benefit is roughly, it depends on the state and it depends basically on the locality, but it's the average is about $130 per month. And then, you know, for a household, and households are usually about 2.5 individuals, it's about $227 per month. You know, I will tell you that the Congressional Budget Office is estimating that with the decrease that they're proposing in Congress, that you would see it somewhere between 10 and 15% cut per person across the board in food stamps.
Why did it make sense, though, to increase the monthly benefit just as millions more people were suddenly needing any food stamps? As we said, the roll since the recession began exploded with another 10 million people being added, about 50% of the current rolls.
Well, there's for a long time been wide recognition that the food stamp benefit is too low and doesn't allow families to afford needed food. And very importantly, it doesn't allow them to afford nutritious food. The other reality is that there was wide recognition that food stamp benefits are, in fact, one of the best ways to stimulate the local economy. There isn't an economist out there who would disagree with that statement because, you know, once a family gets their food stamp benefits,
the money goes into the household and right out to local merchants.
Exactly. So you're benefiting the local businesses, you're benefiting the localities. It's a win-win situation for everybody.
Now, part of the argument for rolling back the increase is that food inflation remains very low, so this is a place they can do it without causing much hardship. I assume you disagree with that.
I think that it's probably more accurate to say this is a place where we can do it where people are not organized enough to fight back. And I think what we've seen over the last few months is that, in fact, people are organized, people are fighting back. And I don't know that anybody could come to the table and justify that we need to literally take food off the table for children in order to pay for other things in this country.
I guess the White House is trying to pay for programs without more taxing or more borrowing where possible to just shift spending priorities within policy areas where they can. So where else would you take the money from in order to implement this larger child nutrition agenda and keep the food stamps increase?
Well, you know, I think one of the ways to, and I'm going to be true to my roots in answering that question by actually posing another question, which is to say taking money away from food stamps, you have to acknowledge that 80%, almost 80% of food stamp benefits go to households with children. And so if we are saying that taking food out of the mouths of children is what we are now left to do in this country in order to make ends meet, then one has to question why we're saying the recession is over and why we're talking about a recovery. I mean, we've spent quite a lot of money bailing out banks and taking care of big business. And we continue to spend money at the national level, and we are, you know, not taking care of the neediest among us. It is households with children, households with disabled individuals, and households with elderly individuals who comprise almost 100% of the households receiving food stamp benefits. And I don't think that we can close the gap on the backs of the most vulnerable among us.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the dilemma being faced by Democrats in Congress this week because they have in front of them the child nutrition bill, long campaigned for by Michelle Obama, among others, that would expand the school lunch program, establish nutrition standards for the food sold in schools, including in vending machines, require school lunches to contain more fruits, vegetables, and low-fat dairy products, many things that you probably support, but they're going to pay for some of this by cutting the monthly benefit in the food stamp program. Back to pre-2009 levels, it had gone up as part of the stimulus bill. And we're talking to Anya Duggan, who is advocating for them not to cut food stamps. She's vice president for research, policy, and education at the Food Bank for New York City. So there's this pretty big coalition that has formed, including your organization and many others, to reverse this food stamp proposed cut. The AFL-CIO is on board, Catholic Charities, the Congressional Black Caucus, and others. And you all managed to delay the House vote scheduled for last Thursday. It's a shame it's come to this kind of standoff over what would otherwise be a historic upgrade in child nutrition law that you would be standing up and raising a glass to and celebrating, right?
Yeah, it's really unfortunate because, in fact, the hunger community wants to rally around the child nutrition bill. We want to see a child nutrition bill passed. We certainly want to see the school lunch program improve across the country. We want to see increased reimbursement rates as well as nutrition standards improving. And we're all advocating for a very solid, strong child nutrition bill. We just don't want it paid for by taking food off tables in people's houses. I mean, it's ironic that we would want to improve nutrition for children and then take away their parents' ability to buy them nutritious food and expect the schools to fill in the gaps. You know, the schools are there to augment what's happening in the household, not to replace it. And I think the other irony here is, you know, we're hot on the heels of the UN summit that was just looking at the Millennium Goals and measuring how the whole world is doing in terms of meeting those Millennium Goals to end poverty. And the Obama administration has made it very clear that ending childhood hunger by 2015 is part of the American government's way of reaching the 2015 goals. Well, if we are taking parents' ability to feed their children away at a time when poverty has increased, as the U.S. Census Bureau's report has shown in the last couple of weeks, then we're actually moving in the wrong direction. We're moving further away from reaching the Millennium Goals. And so I think it is time for all of us to pause and look at how all of these different issues and different measures are connected. If we want to end childhood hunger by 2015, we need to allow parents to feed their children.
By the way, there are some people, and I've heard this opposition on some talk radio programs, there are some people who oppose Michelle Obama's campaign in the first place and the basics of the child nutrition bill, no matter how it's paid for, like, I think, Gary in Queens. Gary, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Just a couple of quick ones, and I don't have an agenda with these questions, but it might seem that way. One is, wouldn't a conservative consider the shift basically towards greater government control and less at the expense of parental control? The second question.
You mean of the food given in school lunches and sold in vending machines?
If there is indeed a shift that with the money that way. The second question would be, it takes, if I'm not mistaken, you can't have more than $3,000 in assets, savings and so forth, to get food stamps or public assistance. Are we that bad off, that many people in that dire straits, or are we seeing a lot of fraudulent hiding of assets?
Both good questions, Gary. Thank you very much. You want to take the second one first on the increase in food stamp benefits?
Sure. It's always, you know, difficult to know how many statistics and numbers to throw out there. But just to put it in perspective, a family of four must earn less than $2,389 per month in order to qualify. Now, the income criteria for food stamps is only one of a list of criteria. There are a range of other issues and variables that have to be taken into consideration.
I think he said $3,000 of assets. It's not really that low, right? Doesn't food stamps, aren't you eligible for food stamps depending almost solely on your current income, even if you have assets?
Right, and it actually differs depending on where you live in the country. There are some states have different rules about it, and that's why the income, you know, sort of explaining it in terms of income is the easiest way for everybody to understand it. The other way to describe it.
But also, you can have a car and a house, you can have retirement savings, but if you're currently making less than $2,300 a month, you can still get food stamps.
Right, and you have to basically hit the 130% of federal poverty in order to qualify, is the other way to look at it.
No more than 130% of the federal poverty line.
Right. And so, you know, in terms of the numbers of people, yes, there are over 40 million people who are currently enrolled in the food stamp program. But if you want the barometer, right, in terms of is that a realistic number, just look at the U.S. Census Bureau's report on poverty. There are 44 million Americans living in poverty, which means they're living below 100% of federal poverty.
And on his other question, I don't know if this is in your bailiwick or not. I would take a shot at it if you don't feel that you can. Does it take control away from parents and put it into the hands of government if they're going to require more fruits and vegetables in school lunches, monitor the nutrition content of what's sold in vending machines?
You know, I think it would be easy and maybe even convenient to sort of like look at this issue along political lines. The truth is that when this bill was passed in the Senate, it was passed by both sides of the aisle, people with different versions of what government should be, whether it's government control, more or less. So, you know, we saw people from both parties voting yes for this bill. And back in August, when there was an even bigger cut taken from the food stamp program, both sides of the aisle in both houses passed the bill and the president signed it in short order. That was the almost $12 billion that was taken from food stamps to pay for the jobs bill. The truth is that it's not so much a political issue as it is about food stamps being the easy target, as I said at the beginning of the show. And I think what we need to do, you know, the sort of the general public is really raise it and say to our government representatives, food stamps is not the easy target.
And I would add that I don't think parents control today what food is sold in schools. I think corporations determine what food is sold in schools in conjunction with the school districts. Public schools are, like it or not, government schools. So it's their responsibility, it's the government's responsibility to determine what kind of junk or fruits and vegetables or whatever they either make available for sale or actually feed directly to the children in terms of the school lunches that are provided. So I think it's absolutely their responsibility, and they're going to get input from parents. But I think there's been a lot of corporate pressure to sell a lot of junk that the kids would like to buy, and that's part of what's going on here. So we're going to have to leave it here, except, Anya, for you to tell listeners what they can do if they want to have a voice in the debate over the food stamps aspect of the bill, because I know there's a big campaign underway, and this is coming to a vote in the House presumably any day.
Right. I mean, the vote could happen as early as Wednesday, and really the easiest thing to do is to call your representative, your House representative, and let them know that you don't believe this bill should be passed by cutting food stamp funding. Now, I know that nonprofits come on the airwaves every day of the week asking for people to call their representatives for various different issues. The way I would look at this one is about taking food out of the mouths of children. I don't know that there is anything more important to fight. And so, you know, to the extent that people can take, you know, 2 minutes out of their day to make that call, you know, the hunger community, the nutrition community, everybody working against this cut really appreciates your help.
Anya Duggan, Vice President for Research, Policy and Education at the Food Bank NYC. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we will talk about so much school news, education policy news in New York and New Jersey and nationally over the last few days. Maybe you heard at the top of the hour, President Obama urging a longer school day for many American kids right from the White House. Mayor Bloomberg this morning announcing a lot of Gates Foundation money into the New York City public schools for high schools. And that group hug on Oprah on Friday between the CEO of Facebook, the mayor of Newark, and the governor of New Jersey. We will see what it all means as we continue to talk about our kids in a minute.